How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on? How are things going?
Not too bad. I can't complain. Crawling to an end here. So.
Yes.
We'll see how it goes on Saturday.
That's a great way to frame it. Crawling to an end here for the Tennessee Volunteers. David, we'll start with the early signing period. How did the opening of that go for Tennessee? And what did the way that they closed out recruiting, or at least have closed it out to this point, say about Jeremy Pruitt and his future at Tennessee, in your opinion?
I mean, a pretty quiet early signing period. You know, they've kind of been leaking oil a little bit in this class. But I think when you see the trajectory on the field and you see the, you know, trajectory of those commits, the excitement of the summer when they were red hot is a little gone. And I think it's going to be hard for them to reel in the big fish. You know, Terrence Lewis, who was committed to the class, five-star guy, he's still out there. He might still, you know, he might get back in the boat. We'll see. But, you know, you're probably going to see some more guys possibly, part ways with this class, I guess. It gets a little complicated when it comes to decommitting and all those things. I think you're going to see Tennessee look at the transfer market, which is going to be as robust as ever when you have immediate eligibility for some guys that can fill some holes. So I think you're going to see them do that. But, you know, recruiting big picture, when things go the way they've gone on the field for Tennessee in year three, it's tough to sell much. You know, in year one, you can kind of sell some things and say, hey, come help us fix this, you know, come help us do this. But, you know, in year three, when you kind of take a step back and you're trying to sell a vision, it's tough to find buyers.
So, David, if you look at where this class is, which is still, you know, a pretty solid class, there are still some big fish out there. What's the best case for this class, given all the circumstances? And, like, does Saturday have anything, you know, can Saturday help in any way? Or I guess it could probably hurt. You know, how do you view the future weeks of recruiting and this situation together?
Well, I don't think that one game is going to have much influence. I think where it might have some influence is, you know, I think right now the odds favor that Tennessee is probably not going to make a change. But if you get embarrassed at home and then you go to a bowl game and you lose, you know, to a team that's not very good, you know, that might change. And so, you know, I suppose that's probably the biggest thing that Saturday in terms of recruiting might impact. But, you know, you look at Tywan Malone is out there. Terrence Lewis was sort of your two, you know, real big fish. I think Tennessee can hang on and be in the top 15 when it's all said and done. But the question is sort of, you know, is that good enough? You know, it's sort of the spiral of, well, okay, you got to get hot early if you're going to try to sell a vision and get some good players and be able to compete with the Floridas and the Georgias and the Alabamas. Since he hasn't been able to compete with them, they've recruited pretty well the last couple of years. But, you know, you start losing games, it gets harder to get good players. And when it's harder to get good players, it becomes harder to win games. And that sort of perpetuates upon itself until you make a change in that spiral. You know, Tennessee's kind of taking the first step down that line. They need something to jolt them out of that, or it's going to be tough. And, you know, winning games on the field helps, but it's tough when you aren't recruiting well enough. I mean, Texas A&M just has a better roster than Tennessee right now.
David Ubben from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, David, one of the recruits Tennessee fans are excited about is Caden Salter, a dual-threat quarterback in the top 50 for 24/7 Sports. And it's interesting, like, you factor in, obviously, Harrison Bailey, Caden Salter coming into the program now. And now all of a sudden, like, JT Shrout really seems to be maybe a part of this moving forward. One time seemed like an afterthought. I don't even think he traveled to Arkansas earlier this year. What do you think that quarterback room is going to look like next year? Is JT Shrout a part of it? and could maybe another transfer from somewhere else be a part of it?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they're going to probably, I'm sure, talk to some folks in the transfer market. We'll see who's on it. You know, I don't think Derek Garantano is going to be there, but if I was guessing, I think you're probably going to see a real competition between Bailey, Shrout, Salter, and maybe a transfer. You know, the transfer market will be interesting because, you know, it's not like Tennessee is going to have a void. You know, I think they believe in Shrout and Bailey, and walking in and beating those guys out is not going to be the easiest thing in the world. Not impossible if you get a big-time guy, but it depends. So I think that's probably where this thing ends up, you know, come spring.
How much fight does this team have for this game, David? And how much do you think Texas A&M is looking at this game like, hey, usually in a situation like this, hoping to get into the playoff, we'd just be sitting there watching the title game. We got a chance to show people something. We got a chance to dunk on someone and make our case in case things break our way. How do you think those two things factor into this?
Yeah, I think, you know, Tennessee seems like they're invested. You know, you don't see a sort of huge wave of opt-outs or guys leaving, and there's not a lot on the line for Tennessee in this game, and you still haven't really seen that, which is, you know, pretty interesting, probably a good sign. A&M is interesting because, yeah, there's something to that. You know, I think they may want to lean on Tennessee a little bit, but in the same breath, you know, I don't know that that's really going to help them. I mean, if they beat Tennessee by, you know, 17 or 50, it's still going to come down to what happens in the championship games. You know, does Alabama lose? Does Clemson take a second loss? You know, does Ohio State – I'm going to try and laugh while saying this, but does Ohio State lose to Northwestern? They're going to need some help. That's the reality. You know, it doesn't matter. They could beat Tennessee by 100, but if Ohio State and Clemson and Alabama all win, it's going to be Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Ohio State. You know, you can call them with the
in the
Ohio
meantime,
State
beat
stuff.
Tennessee by 100, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could, but I just don't think it changes much. Does that, you know, land with the people in the locker room? Probably not, and I'm sure they'd like to not give the committee an excuse if it's close between them and Ohio State. I think certainly Texas A&M more deserving than Ohio State, considering their actual resume and playing a full season. But, you know, if you're going to have the four best teams, I don't know that you're going to find a lot of people making the case that A&M is a better team than Ohio State.
David Ubbin from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, David, you brought up maybe a bowl game for Tennessee, and Jeremy Pruitt has already said, you know, if given the invitation, we'll play in a bowl game. But we had Josh Ward on earlier this week, and you look around the country, I think Boston College started it off, and some players around programs have said, you know what, we just don't want to play in a bowl game. We've been in a grind since June. It's been a crazy year with the COVID protocols and everything that's gone on with that. Do you think there's a chance that Tennessee players could say, you know what, we've had enough of this year. We may end up finishing 3-7, and we've been doing this since the late part of summer into early fall. This has been a grind. We want no part of a bowl game, especially given, like, going to a bowl game this year, you're not going to get the same experience as you would in a typical year.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, players, I'm not sure that it's ever going to come to that vote. The reality is that, you know, subtly or not, the you haven't seen any SEC teams opt out of bowl games yet, despite the fact that there are seasons that have finished. And, you know, the SEC certainly is not going to complain about that. I think there's definitely been, you know, a little bit of pressure on teams to, hey, you know, we're going to try to play these games. Call it a money decision, call it a whatever you want to call it. But you might see some SEC teams opt out. But, you know, these player votes that are happening at some of these ACC schools, and I'm not sure you're going to see those at SEC schools. I think you're going to see a lot more SEC teams play. You know what, UCLA opted out yesterday of a bowl game, and, you know, I you might see a lot of players opt out, but I think the idea that a team is going to punt on a bowl in the SEC, I think it's going to be far more rare than it is certainly in the ACC and possibly in the Pac-12 as well.
It just means more, David. It just means more over and over again. Yeah. All right, so who's your Heisman winner? I know luckily with this game tomorrow, but right now.
Well, Joe, I'm not allowed to say. I don't want to get my vote taken away. Let me just say, I think this has been a quarterback and a running back award for a long time, and I think there's a real shot that this year that trend gets bucked. Maybe I'm wrong, But that's how I think it should be. I don't know if it will be, but I think sitting here right now, that's where I'd probably land.
Nicely done. David Ubbin,
with you.
David Ubbin from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. David, great stuff, man. Enjoy the final game of the regular season tomorrow for Tennessee against Texas A&M.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. When we come back, there was an interesting point thrown out on Twitter yesterday about Tennessee and another job in the SEC, saying that it's unquestionably that it's worse than Tennessee. Do we agree? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, I got to tell you about FanDuel. And you may have been a part of that special last night with Justin Herbert on FanDuel Sportsbook throwing a touchdown. He got it done. Two touchdowns for Justin Herbert last night. And no one does football like FanDuel Sportsbook. All season long, FanDuel is bringing exclusive offers for the best games on their weekly slate. And this Sunday, you got something you won't want to miss. Right now, new users can bet $10 to win $150 on either the Chiefs or the Saints. You heard that right. Bet $10 to win $150 on either team. So some news we talked about in the last segment. Drew Brees apparently back in there for the Saints heading into this matchup. Maybe you like the Saints now in this matchup against the Chiefs. You can go that way. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, incredible odds promotions are just the beginning. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same-game parlays, and exclusive always-on promotions such as enhanced odds boost and the biggest events and bet insurance to let you get more action out of every single game. And if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, now's the time to get off the sidelines and bet. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, to make your first deposit to claim your exclusive odds boost. Bet $10 to win $150 on either team to win the heavyweight matchup between the Chiefs and the Saints. That's promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Vols, thanks to David Ubbin from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris in Nashville texts in and says, I'm calling my shot. The Vols play well tomorrow and keep this game close until late. Take the Vols and the points against Texas A&M. So we're going to have our Pigskin Pick'em segment coming up next at 9:30. We will pick the Vols and Texas A&M, but Joe, a lot of faith from Chris in Nashville for the Vols to play well tomorrow against Texas A&M, even though Texas A&M's got a lot to prove in this game. I think Joe Rexrode may have left himself on mute.
He most definitely did. Can confirm. Joe Rexrode is on mute on the Zoom.
Well,
so amazing, you know, and I the mute was just because I was slurping coffee.
Okay.
And the slurping was getting a little bit much, and I did not think that I would have a mute issue in this setting, and yet here we are.
It's amazing. The tradition
continues. I'd like to apologize to you.
Wow.
I'd like to apologize to you and the listeners and to the Detroit Lions.
Okay. Spared us the ASMR for what?
Would you like to apologize to Marcus Mariota while you're at it?
Yes, I'm sorry, Marcus, that Robbie hates you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Anyway, Chris, a lot of faith in the Vols tomorrow, Joe.
Yeah, that would be surprising to me, honestly. Because, like, I hear what David was saying last segment about the Aggies. Like, there's so much that's out of your control. But there's one thing you can control. And if you do happen to get in – and, of course, you're playing before those games. If you happen to get into a situation, if things break right, you want to be able to say, hey, by the way, we went to a credible football team stadium and absolutely hammered them yesterday.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot for the Aggies here to look as good as possible. And I am interested to see if the Vols, how much fight the Vols have. And not just how much fight. Look, I think the Vols have been playing hard. I think that they have had effort all year. I think there's some credit due on that. Can they execute? You know, can they actually go toe-to-toe with a team of this quality? And can their offense, which I liked what Jim Chaney did against the, you know, 18 scholarship player Vanderbilt defense. So, you know, wing it around again against these guys and see what happens. Have balance and some explosiveness in your offense.
So, Joe, speaking of the Tennessee Volunteers, your colleague at The Athletic, Andy Staples, threw out a really interesting tweet yesterday that got a lot of traction on Vol Twitter, and the tweet reads this. This coming from Andy Staples on Twitter. Wow, there are really people who like college football who think Tennessee is a better job than Auburn. That is something. And, of course, as you might imagine, that got Tennessee fans in an uproar on Twitter, which is very easy to do these days. But you have called Tennessee a top, 12 job in the country before. Which job do you think is better right now in the SEC? Is it Tennessee or is it Auburn?
Well, I think Andy's right that Auburn is better. However, he seems to think that it's Auburn by a mile,
yes.
Which I don't agree with. I think it's Auburn with a slight edge. And I'll tell you why. Yesterday during this Twitter storm, one of my favorite Vol Twitter people, which is G-Man Vols.
Yes.
I love the guy. And he was one of the guys when I did the piece on Vol Twitter, who was one of the people I interviewed, and he's great. He's a credit to Vol Twitter. He has a lot of awesome videos that he makes, but also, he's a smart fan. He makes good points. He kind of came back at Andy with a lot of arguments against what Andy was saying. Okay. But the problem is, and I responded to him, I said, you make a lot of good points, but let's not forget, in the SEC East versus the West is one of the points he made. I said, the problem is your team still has to play Bama every year. I mean, that's one of the reasons that you have to count that as a mark against the Tennessee job. You have to deal. You may not be in their division, but you have to play them every year.
Yeah.
So that's something to not forget here. But I think access to talent would be a little bit of the difference. That's probably the most significant thing. I mean, I think in terms of facilities and everything like that, I think it's very close. I think, Tennessee, while the talent has gotten a lot better in this state, it's better in Alabama. You have a little bit closer access to some of the other places, Louisiana, Florida, where you're recruiting. Not that Tennessee can't and hasn't and won't go into those places and get players, but if you're just comparing it, it's a little bit easier for Auburn. Of course, in-state, you're also dealing with Alabama. Tennessee does not have that, big recruiting power in its same state. But again, the talent in this state, you have to go outside the state to have a chance in the SEC. We know this. So I think it's close, but I would give Auburn a slight edge.
I think it's close, too. I would probably also lean slightly towards Auburn. I think a lot of Tennessee fans get upset with this because you think about, the entire history of the SEC and in college football in general. And Tennessee, even though they've been bad for the last 12 years, they're still one of the winningest programs in the history of the country. And there's a lot of history that goes along with Tennessee football. So I think if you're a Vols fan and you want to make the argument that, over the course of all of football, all the history that you have, Tennessee is the better job, I would probably agree with that. But there's nothing that really points to the last 20 years to tell me that Tennessee is a better job than Auburn. There's nothing that points that way to me. So it's interesting. And obviously, we've talked a lot about Tennessee and Auburn and kind of the connection they have just based on Hugh Freeze and a lot of the discussion that's been around that. And I think that's probably where this conversation by Andy really originated from. Was the discussion around, Hugh Freeze, would you rather go to Auburn? Would you rather go to Tennessee? Where is he going to end up landing if he comes back in the SEC? But I do think, recently, Auburn, they won a national championship in 2010. They've been to the SEC title game a few times. We got back to the national championship game against Florida State, and I want to say 2013 or 2014. I mean, they have a ton more recent success than Tennessee does, and you have to factor that into the discussion as well. And when you do that, I think Auburn is the better job.
Yeah. Now, I will say that you're right. So if you're comparing recent performance, it's not close. But I still look at this like, what if the exact same person took over this job or took over that job?
Yeah.
Does the recent success mean that much? I mean, I suppose it means a little bit more in terms of people you're recruiting actually can remember you being good.
Right.
That helps, right? But, I look at it more like, what is the job? We're talking what the job is better. So let's just put the exact same coach and staff in one and the other and who has a better chance of success. And in that way, I think it's closer. But, I think, look, the history of Tennessee, I mean, this is a big problem. This is a big frustration. I mean, listen, man, Army used to be a college football power. So did Vanderbilt. So did Minnesota, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Now, I'm not saying Tennessee's in that boat, but Tennessee's in the boat with Nebraska and Michigan and some of these other programs that have cycled down, and just it's been so long. Someone made the point yesterday with Nebraska. You know, Tennessee, that parallel has been made. And basically the idea that the recruiting realities of college football have left them behind. That is a huge misconception with Tennessee. It's an absolute truth with Nebraska. The problem with college football recruiting in Nebraska is unofficials with underclassmen has become an essential part of the deal. And you just can't go take a quick drive over to Lincoln. And so that has really hurt them in their recruiting game, along with other things. They've had some of the same stuff. They've had instability and bad hires and all that. I mean, Bill freaking Callahan is your coach. You know, you should have stuck with Frank Solich all along, all that stuff. They've made mistakes, but they have a fundamental issue with the way the recruiting calendar works. Tennessee doesn't have that problem. Tennessee can still – I mean, look, we're looking at this class, you know, lamenting that it fell to 15th in the country with a coach who's on the hot seat, you know. Tennessee brings in talent, so –
Well, look at where Auburn is right now. It was not a good day the other day for Auburn in the recruiting pool.
That's a good point. They got, and of course they actually, and that's what you kind of expect when you actually make the change, although that was extreme for them. In a given year, I don't know. I don't have them in front of me. I would say over the last 10 years, Auburn probably ranks a little bit higher on average than Tennessee, right? That would be my expectation. But it's similar. I mean, they are similar. To me, it's like you've got your programs in the SEC that are right now, you know, you can win a national championship and are in position to do so. And that's Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. And I guess I'll throw Florida in there, you know, and they've obviously won it in recent history. And then that you still can win one. I'm going Auburn. I'm going Tennessee. I'm putting those two behind that top four.
Yeah.
Right. And they're very similar. So I think Andy did overstate it a little bit. He made it seem like, oh, my God, ridiculous. I think it's pretty close.
I think so, too. And look, you heard the argument of, well, one side you got to deal with LSU and Alabama and everything that comes along with that. Texas A&M's creeping up. And then Tennessee fans like, okay, well, you got to deal with Florida and Georgia and Alabama on our side, given our crossover game. Like the scheduling part of it, I think it's pretty even.
Well, and that's but that's the thing. A lot of Tennessee fans arguing against him were throwing the SEC East at him. And that's again, that's my thing. It's like I hear you. It is still easier. I mean, you still have more lamb, especially with Texas A&M getting better. You got more problems in the West.
Yeah.
But you play Bama. It's just a terrible setup right now that you happen to be having to play the most dominant dynasty in college football history, probably. I mean, this Alabama run for the last decade plus now under Saban, it's unmatched.
Tomorrow's game of the week is a championship triple header presented by Gary Force Acura. 102.5 The Game will have the Big Ten, ACC, and SEC championship games at 11 a.m. It'll be the Big Ten title game as Northwestern takes on Ohio State. Then at 3 p.m., the ACC championship will feature Clemson versus Notre Dame. And then at 7 o'clock, Florida takes on Alabama in the SEC championship game. So a big day here tomorrow on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When we come back, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em. Joe Rexroad and I will try to attain some level of respectability against Ryan Porth. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And here we go with another riveting edition of Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rexroad, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth, and Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, quite frankly, this competition has become an embarrassment for us in many ways at this point. We've got to find a way to close this gap as we approach the end of the season here. Joe Rexroad, I turn it over to you. Give us a quick standings update.
Yeah, listen, you and I are in the toilet bowl competition, okay?
Thank you.
So it's me and you against each other. I looked this up, Porth, after your 5-0 last week.
Uh-huh.
So since you have taken over, the Morth team, Munson into Porth, was 12-13. You are 22-12.
Oh my god!
Oh my gosh! No,
which is like again,
look at his like self right. He's like, oh my gosh! I have been so good.
I am awesome. I am amazing. So you're kicking our butt all over the place. You are now 34-25, 42 points. Again, you went 5-0 last week, got your lock, so you're 34-25, 42 points, 8-4 in your locks. Robbie, you had a 1-4 week, didn't get your lock, makes you 24-35, 31 points, 7-5 in your locks. You are 11 points behind Porth. I had a 2-3 week, so I gained on you in the overall standings. I'm only a game behind you, 23-36, but 27 points because I'm 4-8 on my locks. I mean, I've been picking the Raiders. I mean, it just, it's a disaster.
That's
just
bad.
A disaster.
It
so
is.
It's you and me, man. It's you and me. Porth, we, you know, it's just, let's just see if you can spread your wings and keep flying. You know?
Look, I feel a lot of pressure after the text that Rick sent in that he's going to put money on every one of my picks. Yeah. I am now feeling the pressure.
Maybe pressure is what we need here in this competition. So without further ado, let's get rolling. Texas A&M and Tennessee tomorrow in Knoxville. The Aggies favored by 14 points. Joe Rexroad, we'll start with you. Where are you going in this game?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Aggies. You know, I think Tennessee will fight, and I think, you know, it's not going to be like a complete romp. But I do. I think if it's late in the game, you know, even though it probably comes down to things outside of their control and all that, I think Jimbo's like, you know what, let's not leave anything to chance. Yeah, let's keep those starters in a little bit longer, get another TD or whatever it is. I think ultimately they cover that and win by about 20-ish or so. So give me the Aggies giving up 14.
Ryan Porth, Texas A&M and Tennessee. Texas A&M favored by 14 points.
Give me A&M. They're looking for style points to prove to the committee that they can get into the playoff. And I also question Tennessee's motivation to play this game, the last game of the season. It's been a tire fire all season long. Give me the Aggies.
Give me Texas A&M and make it my lock of the week. I've been impressed with Tennessee's ability to fight. I think they'll fight early in this game, but I think Texas A&M, quite frankly, is just too talented for them. Yeah! And I think once we get into the second half, yes, thank you. Once we get into the second half, A&M has something to prove. They will take over in this game. I think Texas A&M ends up winning by 20-24 points. My lock of the week, the Aggies against the Volunteers. Moving ahead to the SEC title game, which you can hear tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Alabama against Florida. Alabama favored by 17 in this game. Ryan Porth, we start with you. Where are you going between Alabama and Florida?
Alabama is 8-2 this season against the spread, and they have had some huge spreads, and they still cover. And Alabama is just a juggernaut. Florida's good, but they're not Alabama good. Give me the Tide.
I'm also going with the Tide in this game. Look, we've talked a lot about Florida's offense. I do think they'll be able to put up some points in this game. But some people have talked about Alabama's defense this year as if it's just like this sieve and they give up points every game. They don't. They've been playing pretty well on defense as of late. I think Alabama pulls away late. I don't think Florida has a prayer of stopping Mac Jones and company on offense. I think Alabama wins by 25 in this game. Give me the Crimson Tide. Joe Rexroad.
I'm going the other way, and it's tough. 17's a tough line. I mean, listen, I agree with what you're saying about Alabama's defense, and certainly the Tide has been awfully impressive this year. I think the Gators will score enough to cover the 17. Very close. I think this will be a convincing victory, but give me the Gators and the 17 points.
Moving on to the NFL, the Titans and the Lions. Right now, the Titans favored by 11 points in this game. And look, we've talked about it all week. This should be a cakewalk for the Titans. Chase Daniel coming in. And look, I think the Titans are going to win this game. I think a very, very late Lions touchdown gets it to within 10 points for the Lions, and they cover. So I think the Titans win comfortably, but I think a late touchdown gets it done for the Lions. Give me the Lions plus 11, baby. Joe Rexroad, your response.
Oh, that's cute. This is the biggest lock of the entire year. Now, the problem is I'm 4-8 with my locks. If this lock doesn't come through, then I think I should be banned from locks. Titans lock, they will destroy the Chase Daniel-led Lions. And again, this is probably unfortunate for Derrick Henry because this is another game where he could set the NFL record, and he's going to be sitting there in the fourth quarter watching the game. Lock, yeah! Titans.
I knew that was coming. I can't wait until Chase Daniel comes in here and throws two touchdowns. Ryan Porth, which way are you going with this?
Well, with the way Joe sounds so confident in the Titans to cover the spread, now I'm not so confident in picking this game.
It's a fair point.
The Detroit Lions are a mighty team that will yield more than 30 points to the Tennessee Titans, and the Titans will cover. I could totally see what Robbie's saying and seeing Chase Daniel, you know, have a backdoor cover, but on paper the Titans are a heck of a lot better than the Lions. So give me the Titans. It is a pretty big spread. The Titans have not covered an 11-point or better spread the last two times they've been favored this much. So I'm not 100% confident in it.
I feel a lot better about my pick now, Joe Rexroad, than I did even with the amount of trust that I've got in Chase Daniel. Let's separate now, go back into some college football. Joe Rexroad, your college football game of the week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a very, very interesting game tomorrow, the ACC title game, Notre Dame-Clemson. I think they're both in the playoff, and I especially think so because of my pick here. Clemson minus 10.5. That half means something to me. And maybe I'm wrong. I think some people look at this and say, oh, Trevor Lawrence is going to come in there and drop bombs. But I think that Vanderbilt's incoming head coach, Clark Lee, will come up with a way to keep this competitive. I like the 10.5, so give me Notre Dame in those points.
Ryan Porth, your college football game of the week.
I'm also going with a conference title game, but I'm going to go to the Big 12. There's been a lot of talk this week about Iowa State. Iowa State took down OU earlier this year in dramatic fashion. The Sooners are not going to let that happen again. The Sooners have figured it out. In the last five games, they have won games by double digits. They've been convincing. Give me the Sooners minus 5.5, and that is my lock.
Ooh, a lock for Ryan Porth. You know, that's a cute game.
Boomer Sooner, baby.
That Big 12 title game. Maybe one day the Big 12 will be on par with the Sun Belt. I mean, looking forward to getting back into that conversation one day with the Big 12. I'm going to stick with Clemson and Notre Dame, and I'm going the other way. I think Trevor Lawrence comes in tomorrow, and I think that they play well. I think that they look confident. Trevor Lawrence has a Heisman moment, even though I don't think there's anything he can really do right now to win the Heisman Trophy. I think Trevor Lawrence has a special performance in this game. Give me Clemson by 2 touchdowns in this game. I will take Clemson and the points minus 10.5. No reaction.
You
whatsoever.
And I are gonna you and I are going straight up head to head this weekend.
I know.
One of us is really gonna be circling the drain after this weekend.
I think Robbie's gonna be right on this one.
Yeah, I feel a lot better with Ryan Porth on my side. And now we switch gears to the NFL. Joe Rexroad, let's start with you. What NFL game do you have?
So I'm looking at this Patriots-Dolphins game. You know, the Patriots mathematically have a shot here to hang in there, and they've kind of been up and down. But, you know, the Dolphins are right in there. They've been a heck of a story. They are at home in this game. They're minus 3. And I really think Tua and that defense, I really like that defense, are going to rise to this occasion and win that game. Maybe not in a total blowout, but I like the Dolphins to win more comfortably than 3. So give me the Dolphins minus 3 against the Patriots.
I like that pick. That was on my radar. Another game on my radar, the Chiefs and the Saints, which you can hear right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pregame beginning at 2:45, the game at 3:25 on Sunday. Anytime the Chiefs have a line that's this close, my ears go up. I think the Chiefs have largely been just kind of sleepwalking as of late and getting ready for the playoffs. This is a pretty big matchup in the NFL. The Chiefs and the Saints, a lot of eyeballs going to be on this game. I think you're going to see the best the Chiefs have to offer, and I need the Chiefs' help in this game as a Packers fan to help me solidify that one seed. So give me the Chiefs minus 3 against the Saints, even though Drew Brees looks like he's going to be back in there.
Right.
Ryan Porth.
All right, so I don't like either of y'all's picks there.
Thank you.
And I'm going to go opposite Robbie. I'm going to go opposite Robbie. Give me the Saints plus 3, the Chiefs. Not only have they kind of been sleepwalking, they've been playing with fire a little bit in their last five games. They have not covered the spread in the last five games. The Saints coming off a loss in Philly, Drew Brees back in the lineup. They don't have the fans in the dome, but they are in the dome. this is a huge game for the Saints to prove themselves. Give me the Saints plus three.
Now I feel nervous.
I like how Porth, you know, Porth has done so well. I like how now he's like a commenter on all of our picks.
Yeah, your pick kind of sucks. I don't really like that's very good. Maybe we should start listening.
Well, hey, Bill Belichick figures out rookie quarterbacks. He did it with Justin Herbert, and he could easily do it with Tua.
We'll see.
This is true.
Just saying.
We'll see.
Well, this, like you said, Joe.
This game humbles people, Porth, and maybe Porth is due for
it. Maybe he is due. And like you said, Joe, between you and I, one of us is going to be looking a lot better next week, and one of us is going to be just really in a hurtful situation. It's going to be interesting.
I'm the Detroit Lions of pigskin picking.
I do not feel good about my Titans pick now that Joe locked it. I mean, not only did Joe has been talking all week about how the Titans are going to destroy the Lions, and then he doubles and triples down this morning and locks it in. I'm not feeling so great about Titans.
I can't wait until it comes out later today that like Matthew Stafford is going to gut it out and play in this game, and I got the Lions plus 11. Oh, I can't wait.
We can't do do-overs if that happens?
No.
Oh, God.
I will sacrifice my called shot being wrong if that's the case.
Hey, that's the thing. I mean, yes, you should be dubious of anything that I pick at this point. And the way I've been talking it up, you should be even more dubious. But have you seen Chase Daniel play quarterback?
Yes, I have.
No, we haven't seen much of Chase Daniel. We have not seen much of Chase Daniel playing quarterback because he's always riding the pine.
That's kind of the thing with him is that he has doesn't take many snaps.
He looked good at Missouri, though. My goodness.
12 years ago.
That's true. He's a Mizzou legend.
Back when they were still in Big 12. Ryan Porth, thank you very much for your service. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Go Bearcats.
Absolutely. Big game for Cincinnati coming up this weekend. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, give our final thoughts on the Titans and the Lions. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
A mighty team that will not yield. This is the end,
beautiful friend. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning. Joe, looking ahead to the Titans and the Lions on Sunday. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, it's about time for Titans special teams to hiccup again, and fat and happy Kevin Byard will give up a deep pass. The Titans squeeze out the win with a game-winning drive, capped off with a pass to a tight end. So Heidi's got a close one for the Titans against the Lions, and Kevin Byard giving up another deep pass.
Fat and happy Kevin Byard.
Yeah.
Huh? Boy, that's I tell you, there's some discontent with Kevin Byard. I'm kind of disappointed in you, Heidi. I thought somewhere in there you'd take a shot at me, and you did not, but that's okay. You can get at it next week. She is right about the special teams. It's been a while, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while since they've had an issue.
They were great last week. Had the blocked field goal, and Goskowski made his only kick, the fake punt.
Yeah, fake punt. Now, you know, again, let's give the block field goal credit to the terrible grass in Jacksonville and the lack of a groundskeeping crew, but still, yeah.
Still the greatest thing ever. By the way, Matthew Stafford not practicing today, so not looking great for him playing on Sunday. Yeah, we are very likely going to get the Chase Daniel show, and I'm 1,000% here for it.
And my lock, it's been a while since a lock has come through. The Lions... Counting on you, Lions.
Maybe they'll let you down one last time here, Joe. This could be a revisitation of your childhood. Just disappointed by the Lions once again.
Yeah, but again, even if they flip it around and are more competitive in this game, it's still something to laugh at. Actually, it's also, that's the thing is, like, the Lions winning this game would be, of course, just devastating for the Titans. I mean, you can't let that happen, but it would still be funny. You can still make fun of the Lions for screwing their draft position.
Yes.
See, I mean, you can find ways to laugh at them in any outcome.
Really, no matter which way the situation goes.
It's pretty fun.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think is more likely, the Titans losing to the Lions or the Colts losing to the Texans, given what that Texans roster looks like right now and the way they've been trending the last 2 weeks?
Oh, definitely the Colts losing. I mean, you're right, and they look like they're about ready to just opt out of the whole season against the Bears last week. But there's still Deshaun Watson, and that guy's going to show up and play. And there's still – I do think, like, I think the Texans will show up and play the Titans too.
Yeah.
You know, I think the division thing gives you a little extra, like, hey, it'd be great to mess these guys up like the Jags did to the Titans 4 years ago. So I think much better chance of that still.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, Vrabel will make two bad calls and one will really hurt us in this game against the Lions. So Ben calling his shot – that Vrabel has a coaching faux pas in this game.
Ooh, okay. All right. Well, could it be? Is it time for us to bring up the double reverse to Brett Kern? We haven't talked about that in a while.
Maybe this is the week for it. If there's ever a week for the double reverse to Brett Kern to work, you would figure it would be against the Detroit Lions.
I mean, you think about the run pass option Kern could have in a double reverse situation. What would the other team do? They would have no idea how to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Oh man, give me a final score for Titans and Lions.
Final score.
Final score.
I will go Titans 38.
Okay.
Lions 16.
Okay. I thought you were going to say like 16. Lions 3, like the Titans win by 35. In this game.
Let's still remember the defense we're talking about here.
I agree. That's
even young Chase will have a little bit of success.
I think the backdoor cover is very much open in this game. I'm going to say the Titans win this game 34-24. A backdoor cover for the Detroit Lions in this game.
God, that'd be so classic. That would be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Chase Daniel throws a touchdown pass with 17 seconds remaining in the game. Oh, man. I can see it happening.
Yeah, actually, I can too.
I've already got it.
I'll tell you what, if that's the case, so let's do that scenario. So 34, so it's 34-17.
Yeah.
So 34-17 Titans, they get the ball with like 10 minutes left. Is Derrick Henry on the field?
Maybe a couple of times in the drive, but no, I don't think he's on the field very much. 17-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I don't know. I that's close enough where at least it's arguable. Like, hey, you know, if you mess something up and they get a quick TD, you know, somebody else puts the ball on the grass and all of a sudden it's a 10-point game. Like, have your best people out there. That's like in that gray area where it's not obvious what to do as a coach. That would at least give them a chance. If Derrick Henry's running the football in the fourth quarter against that Lions defense, one, it's probably bad things for the Titans D, but
yeah.
Two. Well, we could be talking about a number on Sunday.
Elijah Campbell, a called shot for the Titans. Do they win? Do they cover the spread against the Lions? Minus 11.
Oh, for sure. It's going to go 38-17. And not 38-17. As a 34-17 was
okay.
My original prediction there. And Chase Daniel breaks a huge career milestone, throwing his 10th career touchdown pass against the Titans. And we'll stop the game, Sign the ball. All that kind of stuff. Put it in Canton. 10th touchdown pass for his 10th season in the NFL. An incredible pace. But, yeah, the Titans should just run all over him. I think Derrick Henry is going to go bananas, and they're going to let him go bananas at the expense of his legs, even though it might cost them in the playoffs. But they're going to try to let him go for 2,000.
I like it. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden texts in and says, my called shot is Derrick Henry will have 150 and a touchdown by halftime. That'd be a heck of a half for Derrick Henry. Not out of the realm of possibility.
I can see it. I can see it.
Might do that on accident.
Yeah. Like if he breaks, you know, 75-yarder in the first couple of drives, which he absolutely could be in for one on Sunday. Going to be very interesting to see.
They need those long ones.
Yeah. And certainly we've seen Derrick Henry more than capable of doing that. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. on Monday to discuss all that happened over the weekend in the world of football. We'll see you then. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
A mighty team that will not yield.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.